Those who have completed the salah, kindly requested to come closer.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وقل رب إني أعوذ بك من همزات الشياطين، وأعوذ بك رب أن يحضرون، حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى أو كما قال مولاي صلى وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected seniors, ulama, brothers, listeners in Islam, right on the outset, it is vitally important that we clarify and we revisit our intention for both for speaking and for listening. Different people have different reasons for listening, just as different speakers have different reasons for delivering nasiha, a bayan, a majlis, a lecture, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the fruits of this particular amal in proportion to the intention. If the intention is corrupt, the listener's intention is tainted, the speaker's intention is impure, then nothing much will be achieved. The objective of the talk will be lost and it will fly out of the window, just as how the air escapes or the air leaves a room. Nothing will affect the heart, nothing will affect the mind. This particular subject that, alhamdulillah, we have heard after Maghrib being announced, it's not an easy subject to speak about. It's not something that I relish or that I look forward to discussing. For one, it happened many, many years ago, almost 26 years ago. And for another, you know, this is such a subject, people will say, you're crazy, you're mad. You say, what is he speaking about? Our iman, by and large, there are many exceptions, in fact. But the ordinary person doesn't have much of confidence, yaqeen, of finding a reality in what the deen, the sharia has taught us about the qabr. We know people who mock and scoff. When you speak to them, you say, you know what, in the qabr this will happen. It's like they rather listen to the news or they rather keep up with the sporting events. What are you speaking about? The iman is so pathetically weak. May Allah forgive us all. It is almost or close to being extinguished. you will understand this here from the fact that when you see janaza, people will talk about everything. They will discuss about politics, they will discuss about current events, and even as they go to the Qabristan, how are you, by what's the latest news been? You heard about this here, and how was Turkey, and how was this place in that place? Said indeed. Nabi Karim Salas, when he would visit the Qabristan, Jannatul Baqi, he would cry. Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala would weep profusely when he would be standing by a grave. People told him, Ya Uthman, O Uthman, you don't weep as much as you weep by the Qabr in comparison to when you hear about Maut and Qiyamat and Hisab, Kitab, etc. They doesn't seem to affect you as much as when you are standing by a Qabr. He replied by saying, if I fail here by the Qabr, I fail right through. I'm a goner. If I succeed here, my success is assured into Jannah. So to speak about this subject, one is obviously the concern, you know, people may comment, people may pass some remark or so. But then on the other hand, you think, do we speak in order to win acclaim and fame, name? Or is there a real need for this particular subject to be spoken about? When we speak about innamal a'mal lu binniyat, in a madrasa, back in the day, students and even the public, some friends, etc., would say, you know what, narrate to us what happened. Sometimes you're in a shop, can you tell us, man? I'm thinking, well, I'm in a shop, where am I going to speak? What am I going to tell you here? What effect it's going to have? But Allah tells us, when they say, quality called talab. Now what is talab? It means an intense desire to search for something which is very precious. If you have lost your passport, you are going to have talab because the flight is tomorrow. I'm going for Umrah. Where did I leave my passport? You are going to turn the cupboards upside down. You are going to pull the drawers out. You will go to your car. You will open the cubby hole. And at the same time, you may retract your steps and you may go, where was I today? I was at a certain place, didn't I drop it there? You have got now talab. You want it. You won't sleep. Me and you won't sleep if there's talab. I want it. Where is that passport of mine? We will make a noise until we find it. And when we find it, we're relieved. We feel happy. I found my objective. So people would ask, but yesterday it so happened, I was walking in, a person came to me, I don't know him maybe personally, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam, please come, man, I want to sit with you, I want to learn from you, I want to ask you, I'm thirsty, give me some nasiha. I was taken aback. His facial expression, his body language says, I am as thirsty as a person in a desert, requiring a sip of water. Please, let's sit here on the side of the road. I was going somewhere, and he also had some work to do. So I said, okay, let me sit a little with you. We were supposed to speak maybe 5-6 minutes. It ended up in an hour and a half of conversation eventually that I went to his house and he asked me, he pleaded with me. He said, please tell me and tell my family even about the adab of the Qabr. I was chained up. I thought to myself, Ya Allah, this subject is such a sensitive subject. Time is running out. This man, he's pleading. I said, okay, let me think of it. And accordingly, I thought further, came to the conclusion that on the day of Qiyamah, if this person grabs me and takes me in the court of Allah and he says, "Oh Allah, I ask him about something that could have aided me in life, in my marriage, something that could have assisted me," he refused to entertain my request. He's considered to be an alim in a community. This person didn't speak anything about politics. There wasn't one word of politics, the current situation, the political climate, nothing. He just wanted nasihat. And the entire conversation, the bulk of it, dare I say, 95% of it, was only about Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, Dr. Abdul Qadir Hansa Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi. We were only floating and finding our way to say, what can we learn from one another? Always remember, lift the hands and say, Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma. This instruction was given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who possessed the most knowledge, the entire creation of ins and jinn. Collectively, all their knowledge does not even constitute a drop in the ocean to that knowledge which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And yet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, say, qur, say, make dua, Rabbi zidni ilma, oh my Rabb, increase me in knowledge. I want more. Ask for more. You should not assume that knowledge is only obtained when you are sitting in a Darul Uloom or you are sitting in a madrasa. What you are listening to now, whether you are at home, listening on live streaming, or you're listening here in a masjid, or you could be in a shop, you make an intention, Ya Allah, I'm making amal on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me knowledge. You could be reading a post that came on the social platform. The intention should not just be to pass time. It should be, I want knowledge. My iman, the tree of my iman needs the water called ilm. My iman will only prosper, blossom, bear fruits, and it will give me shade if it is consistently and continuously. Right up till morn, I must search if tolab for ilm. Our Shaykh Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, right till his final moments at the age of 82, he always had a kitab by his close to him. At times he'll open it and he would say, May Talibilamhu, I'm a student of Deen. I try and learn something else. Never should we assume that I know enough. Coming back, so this entire incident that I'm going to narrate to you, it is due to this fear that at that time when it was related, 26 years ago, many young husbands to the newlyweds weren't even born. If a child was 14 years old, he would be 40 years old, probably would have forgotten. And the mere fact is that we have a huge problem of spouse abuse. Massive. It is a catastrophe. It is something that no father want to experience, or a mother want to experience, or even a wife want to experience, and even a husband want to experience, because marriage is a very sacred institution of our deen. Generally, the marriages are solemnized, and the couples are binded in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the shadow of the Quran Kareem ayat that are being recited, reminded of their responsibilities. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fans the flames of muhabbat. An-nikahu min sunnati, faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Nikah is of my ways, it's my sunnah. Whosoever turns away from nikah is not of me. Now, don't just look at it in a superficial manner or listen to it. Oh yes, we've heard about it. Do you know what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying? He's saying at the occasion when the nikah is performed, dare not destroy this holy bond. You will be falling out of my sunnah. You are going to be leaving my ta'aleem and my method. We come now to the actual incident. These types of experiences are either Wahhabi or Kasabi. Wahhabi means it's a gift from Allah Ta'ala, solely a gift. Out of the blue, a person can see a remarkable dream, a very true dream, an inspiring dream. He can tell people and suddenly his life has changed. You get people that have dreams like that also. It's from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And others is Kasabi, meaning you do something, you make khidmat or you assist someone and that person gives you a dua. And that dua touches the arsh of Allah and it shakes the arsh of Allah. And that arsh shaking, what happiness and joy, because you've brought happiness to somebody, that ignites the special word, the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have an unusual experience. Understand well, it is amongst the basic beliefs of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the karamat of the awliya ahaq. I'm not amongst the awliya, but I'm explaining the philosophy and the principles of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. More anbiya, they have more mu'jizat. The awliya, they have karamat. The anbiya have wahi. The awliya have ilham. The anbiya have mubasharat also. And in this sphere, the awliya also experience mubasharat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is this mubasharat that the Quran speaks about? Lahumul bushra fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned ru'ya sadiqah, truthful dreams. My respected listeners in Islam, the seed of this particular experience is to be found in the dua which my mother gave me. She was around 74 years old, handicapped quite severely with her eyesight. Perhaps she had 20% vision. And she was staying with me. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. I need to say this here, not for any other reason, so you have an understanding what piety means, and we have an understanding what it means to make dua for our children. Oh fathers, oh mothers, if you make dua for your children, Allah will never ever turn your dua away. Nabi Sallam has mentioned, the mother's dua is accepted, the father's dua is accepted. So making khidmat with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a week or so before her demise, she told me, listen, yeah, after I pass away, you must come to my qabr, I'll give you something. I thought, what is she speaking about? Yeah, it didn't make much sense, because it's a very unusual instruction. Be as it be, she was extremely pious. She would keep a tasbih around her neck. The value of the tasbih was infinitely more valuable than what a gold necklace could be. Because when she wanted to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she would go, her hand would go to her neck and remove the tasbih, and she would remember her Rabb. The extent of her ibadat was as such that she would read plenty of nafal namazes. One evening I went to give her food. As I entered into her room, she's busy with salah, await. Room was very small, and she told me, bring my food here, I'll eat it whenever I want. I'm waiting. And she makes salam, and quickly, she senses I'm waiting outside, so she quickly reads another two rakats, and another two, and another two. So I inquired from her, Ma, oh, I hundu namaz, what is this here? She said, Joe, Berakat, two rakats for Abu Bakr. Berakat, Umar Nawasti. Two for Umar. Two for Uthman. Two for Ali. Two for Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Two. I'm giving everyone sawab. Her duas, would it then stretch for 45 minutes, 1 hour? So, when she told this to me, I thought of it, but I didn't take it much, sort of a very serious thing that I must go, in order to see what was, to see what had been seen. She passed away, Allah make a maghfirah, janazah, everything. I'm going to be as brief as possible, because there's other things also quickly which I want to touch about. Myself, my cousin and my small son was at that time 6 years old. We would go every day practically to the Qabristan. People know the Lanisha Qabristan. It's about 4 or 5 kilometers away from the town. At that time, well maintained, and we would go and make dua, isali, sawab, etc. Some of the things I may mention are blurry. I may you may hear previous recording and say, you know what, but this was said and now this is said. But the basic skeleton or the basic structure of the incident is as clear as it happened yesterday. It was a particular day, it was after Asr, it was cloudy, and we were going to the Qabristan, and entered the Qabristan. The graves are in sort of plots, maybe 50 graves, and then the road, and in between next 50. Whilst driving down towards my mother's grave, my cousin was sitting on a passenger seat. He was looking at me, I'm looking at the road, and suddenly he screams out, "Hey, I saw a fire, it's a fire, check it, it's a fire." I'm driving slow, I'm saying, "What are you speaking about?" He said, "There, the back." I reversed, and I saw, and may Allah Ta'ala make my tongue to be truthful, I understand the full repercussions if I say anything incorrect, deliberately fabricate anything. What do I get? People do things for one of two things. You do for the dunya or you do for your deen. In as far as the dunya is concerned, I'm not getting any monetary compensation, and I wouldn't want even the world's wealth for what I'm saying. Inshallah wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala always keep it as such. In as far as the deen is concerned, yes, the benefit would be this year that I'll get some reward, inshallah. And amongst you, who knows, even if there's one person who's going to change his attitude to his wife, and even if there's one woman who's going to say, you know what, I just need to be a bit careful, I must not provoke in any way and incite my husband, that I cause a huge problem. It's the same. The person met, a lady went to another friend's house, and, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? You live in such a small house, shame. Finish, left the house. Before that, the wife was very happy with the husband. Husband comes home, she is angry. Till when will I live? Shall I live in this small house? I want a bigger house, otherwise I want out. But we were so happy. We were so contented. What happened? Do you see? Do you see what can happen? In a minute, less than a minute, we put fire to someone's house and walk away, and we don't even understand what we have done. We are a sunnah appearance, we've got parda, but we don't guard the tongue. We refuse to understand the harms, the damage of the tongue. Sometimes it can never be undone. Person meets a friend. Oh, you're, oh, long time no see, man. Where are you working? Certain place. What are they giving you? I get 8,000 per month. Only 8,000? Yeah, come on, man. You should be getting 20, 25. He goes back to work, boss. I want to increase. You see, but what I'm giving you, you even getting company accommodation, company vehicle, whatever. You know, what is the problem? No, I want at least 15. He said, sorry, find another job. There he is walking around jobless month after month. Can we see what harm the tongue does? So coming back, I stopped. I got off the car. My son was jumping excitedly. Fire is young, small. And we walked towards this particular qabr. And I see as I come closer, the qabr is as the qabr is, but on top of the qabr there is fire. It's about, may I say, half a meter. And 60-70% of the middle of the qabr, that is it. And I thought to myself, Ya Allah, what do I do here now? The hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to my mind. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed by wahi on one particular occasion that in these two qubur, the plural of qubur is qubur, Azab, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed they are being punished, both of them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they are being punished for nothing sort of major. What we understand, you know, huge. The one, he never used to be cautious with urine, meaning he couldn't be bothered about napaki paki and making proper istinja. And the other one was a tail carrier, carrying stories from this one to that one, from this WhatsApp to that WhatsApp. Why are we so interested in the lives, personal lives of other people? Well, Allah Ta'ala ask us why that one, that happened to them and why that one, that. What type of a ummah have we become that we feast upon the hurt and the pain of our Muslim brothers and sisters? What type of human beings are we that we devour the flesh of our own brothers and sisters? We think of it, oh, this is exciting, I must let everyone know. That person wants whatever has happened to be concealed. And we feel, yeah, this is the nafs now. You are the one that spread the messages. You are the one. It started there, man. You gave all the information. I'm speaking about people's personal lives. Leave them to their own. So I quickly, when Nabi Sassam the day after took a green, a branch of the tree, and he planted it and said, it is still green, moist. It is in the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will lessen the adab, or the adab could be removed, whatever the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exactly was, I cannot recall. Accordingly, I quickly went, found there was a tree, I broke out a branch and I put it. And whilst I was coming closer to the grave, that's when I saw, before I went to fetch the, what you can call branch, I saw the, like how you take material, a scarf or so, and you gather it together, a shawl, you know, you gather it together. The fire gathering together in ships, it just went inside. Allah save us, Allah save us, Allah save us. So when they recited some Quran Sharif, went back home, was obviously very worried, contacted some seniors of mine, and explained, they were also bewildered, what is this year? It's not something that anyone can just wake up and start, making a story of this year. Made dua with Allah Ta'ala Sadal after around, I think, 10 days or so. I dream of a very old lady. And I'm saying, what's this all about? She says, he used to harm me and hurt me. He was a very bad husband. I made sabar. And she was crying and wailing. But I made him laugh. You know, zulam, oppression, is such a crime in Islam. It is such a major, major sin that even if Allah wants to make you maaf, Allah won't make you maaf till upon whom you made zulm, that person makes you maaf. On the day of Qiyamah it's mentioned. The rights of those whom we have usurped. On the day of Qiyamah we will be very happy, I've got my deeds, I've got enough to enter into Jannah blissfully, happily, and as we are proceeding, suddenly there will be a place, like how you get immigration, you say, halt, wait a minute. There are some accounts left. Whose money did you usurp? Whose right did you usurp? Who did you oppress? Who did you pain? Who did you backbite about? Go and sort out the accounts. What I say comes from a hadith in Quran Kareem with regards to this year. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mounted the mimbar before his demise. And he addressed the people and said, oh people, is there anything at all that I owe anyone of you? Whether in monetary terms, whether I physically hurt you, take it now whilst I'm alive. We come closer to Maud. We see the shadow of Maud. We see the legs are buckling. We understand the mind cannot grasp. The eyes cannot see properly. The ears, you have to stretch your ears. We have to stretch our ears. The teeth, so much of Allah's ni'mat has been eaten. The teeth have grinded those ni'mats. And in the end, it's not much teeth even left. But we don't ever think, let me repay what I had broken. We don't even think that I have usurped the wealth of those people who inherited from our father, our mother. I was perhaps the eldest in the family. And I took it for granted, I'm in charge of the business. Okay, your people share, I'll pay you people out, don't worry. But I run the business, as I get, I'll pay you people out. And the days pass, and the weeks pass, and the months pass, and the years pass. And it's a little bit here, a little bit here. While in the meantime, the mention is coming up, they are going for Umrah there, they are going holidaying. But the haq of those people whom Allah had given that haq of inheritance in the Quran Kareem, sisters, brothers, children, parents, the father is old, one son passed away, there was some inheritance, it's supposed to come to him. No, bhajis also we eat up. Even bhajis we eat up. Recently they brought to my notice, what do we do? The mother is so old, she's almost on her last days. The brother comes in the house and say, you know what, I just want to be with Ma alone. And some other one, two strangers are there. But what's happening? Only one sister. He said, no, we just want to take a thumb run, he says. The mother is subconscious. They lift her hand, they put the pad and they take a thumb and a forefinger and they put the fingerprints. The mother doesn't know what she's doing. And the sister cries, but what is happening? Tell me, don't worry. This is my advocate here and this is my lawyer here. You don't worry. You can hide. You can duck. You can enjoy it. Today Allah catches hold of us. Inna batash rabbika lashadeed. Inna batash rabbika lashadeed. When Allah catches you, He catches me, He catches anyone. He grabs them by the throat, you know, batash. In such a forceful manner, you can't move, you can't look to the left, you can't look to the right. Your eyes will bulge, my eyes will bulge. Your tongue won't be able to move. You are in His grip. All the wealth in the world cannot take you out of the problem you have. All the lawyers in the world cannot fight the case for you so that you may avoid a jail sentence. All the doctors in the world and the surgeons and the specialists in the world cannot treat you and give you shifa from the sickness that you have. Inna batasha rabbika lashadeed. So what we are saying here is that we have to be very careful with our regards to our wives. When we got married, that father gave them as an amanat. Understand the word amanat. Amanat, you know, keep my amanat here then. 100,000 when I want it to, must give it back. Imagine that fellow, your friend, goes and invests it in a business. You didn't have the right to touch my money. You didn't have the right, as a husband, to smack your wife and jolt her and push her and drip her. Wallah, I'm using these words. This is happening. This is happening. Ask the ulama ikram that the amount of things that come to the notice, it's unspeakable. It's unspeakable. You can't even say this is a human being. calling them dogs and pigs and donkeys, and your mother never taught you, and get out, and swearing the most vulgar of words, and showing them the door, and the children are looking what is happening to Abba, what is happening to you. They can't understand. They're crying. They're clinging to the mother. What is happening? And the mother is crying. Is this a human being? They abandon their wives and they go for holidays. They go out somewhere. They leave her. They're shaking and shivering. She's scared. The husband has locked her in. He has told her very clearly, you don't go out of the house. Your father is not allowed. Your mother is not allowed. They do all the zulm, and then simultaneously they seal the lips of that innocent wife, and they threaten her, you dare you tell your father and your mother, and you see what's going to happen to you. You forget. My Shaykh Rahmatullahi said, that wife that sobs in the pillow, in the dark of the night, when no one else besides her Rabb is there to lend an ear, and no one is there to observe her plight besides her Rabb, be careful, your Jahannam will start in this world. Your Jahannam starts in this world before you go to Jahannam. The conduct a husband should have towards his wife is, number one, when you get married, understand very clearly. It's not a picnic. It's not a love marriage, what we had seen in the films, etc. It is a time that you are going to take on a huge responsibility. The responsibility of being under your authority. You had never ever had that type of responsibility. And there cannot be a greater responsibility than the responsibility of being a husband. You will say, Nakruhaji. MashaAllah, barakah, almighty. At that moment you must understand the burden of the responsibilities are such, but it is only equally matched by the rewards that Allah will bless you with. That for every 2 rakat salah, before that moment when you say, I accepted her, that 2 rakat nafil, if you're now going to perform it, it will be worth 80 times more valuable in the eyes of your Creator. You have taken on a huge responsibility. That responsibility is not for a few days. A mu'min understands that responsibility that I take, it is till the last of my breath leaves my body. There's going to be ups and downs. There will be depressing day and days when you are so despondent. You'll be regretting perhaps also, why did I ever get married? And she will blurt it out. My father didn't see and understand where he put me. And you will also think, you know what, I made a major mistake. Now understand where the shaitan comes in. I don't say so. Again, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith that shaitan, one of the most desirous and pleasing acts that makes him super happy is when he splits a husband from the wife, when talaq takes place. That is when shaitan is amongst the happiest of the creation. I got it right. I succeeded in planting doubts. I succeeded in blinding the husband to the favors of the wife. She has carried how many of your children? How many napkins have she changed? You came home, you saw the little mashallah, 2 years old, 1 year old, 5 years old, 7 years old, running, playing. The food is cooking, mashallah. And the house is cleaning. Yeah, mashallah, the aroma of the food is whiffing through the house. Mashallah, you are happy. Somebody did it. Somebody even burned their fingers, perhaps. Ramzan Sharif times. They are hungry, they are thirsty, it is hot, and they stand by the heat of the stove, and they stand by the heat of that boiling oil. Heat of the stove, heat of the boiling oil. Hungry, thirsty, but they are frying that samosa and that pies which me and you are going to enjoy. We'll say, mashallah. Today she says something untoward, speaks out of turn, makes a comment about your family, even perhaps insults you. So you forget all the favors. Didn't you read the Quran Kareem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks on behalf, he intercedes on behalf of the wives. Imagine Allah Rabbul Isa is telling you and me as husbands, وَعَاشِرُونَ بِالْمَعَرُوفِ, stay nicely with them. Simple layman's translation. Must stay, عَاشِرُوا, I tell you man, stay nicely. And the wife is also addressed. Both of you, stay nicely. But ayat more towards the men, because the ayat carries on, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَوْ شَيْءُ. There are times you are going to dislike. Now remember, Allah is giving us a bayan. Quran Sharif is bayan. Hada bayan. Bayan is not what Maulana only says. Bayan, Allah is giving a bayan. When all the Quran Sharif say, Allah forgive me a bayan. Let me see what is this bayan all about. Let me go and learn. Find out what is the bayan of Allah Ta'ala. Hada bayanu linnas. So Allah Ta'ala says, for the men, it addresses the men, you are going to find there are times that you are going to dislike things. But at that time, remember, khayran kathira, plenty of good is there is also. So, when something goes wrong, our nafs will agitate, I'm the husband. How can she speak to me like this? She must have some respect. I'll tell you what my Sheikh Mullah Masoola rahmatullahi mentioned. He said a husband should not look forward to respect from his wife. It's a sign of pride. I'm saying how it is. You mustn't await respect. All respect is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. All respect is only for Allah Rabbul Izzah. It doesn't mean the wife must be careless in with regards to respect. When you get married, understand. Your life is now split. First you could have whatever you wanted. Ek dam kya gham. One you are, what is it? What? There's no problems. You eat what you want to, you go away. You want to, you sleep until whatever you want to on a Sunday, whatever. Now, you have got to take the other party into consideration. That sacrifice is going to be very well rewarded. It comes in Hadith Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, when a husband leaves the house in a condition that he is happy with his wife and she is happy with him, then Allah Ta'ala appoints an angel to stand by the door and tell the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah to write istighfar on behalf of both of them. These are the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Coming back to the incident, I saw this particular dream. Then I thought, oh, Ya Allah, what is happening now? I went back to that grave. There was a name there. I thought to myself, let me verify. You know, it's just shaitan, iblis playing tricks on me. I looked in the olden days, used to have the telephone directory, you know, with the yellow pages in a second half and whatever it may be. I looked for the surname. It was a bit of an uncommon surname. I made a call or two until an old lady picked up the phone. And I said, just want to ask you, was this person your husband? Yes. How was he? Was all right, but I said, no. I'll tell you. And then she agreed that he was, he gave her a difficult time in life. But she made him maaf. Or she can make maaf, but until Allah, she can say, I make maaf. But still also sometimes, a person hurts another brother or sister in such a manner, that even if that person makes maaf, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm not going to make you maaf because this was my wali. This was my waliya. This was my special friend. This person, he lived for me. He did everything. He breathed for me. He lived for me. All his actions and all his entire life was making tawaf around my Baytullah. Although he was not in Makkah, Mukarramah. You hurt him. You hurt a buzuruk. You know what you are doing. Are you mad that to go and hurt the feelings of a wali of Allah? When you look at his salah, when you look at his sunnah, when you look at the fear of Allah, when you see dhikr, when you see his conduct, when you see the sacrifices he's making for deen, you go and speak bad about him. Allah Ta'ala says, man, whosoever hurts a wali, faqad adhan, he has hurt me. And I declare war against such a person. There are two instances when Allah Ta'ala declares war. One, if you are involved in interest, Allah Ta'ala says, فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And the other one is when we interfere with the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, that was brief. whatever the qabr issue was about. Other factors that lead to the adab of the qabr, we've heard about being careless about urine. Carrying tails. At the same time, there is this aspect also that certain sins, how you get sadaqah jariya, you get a sin that is jariya. You commence the sin. You bought the TV. You brought it into the house. You bought the couch. Now they're sitting there and watching Hindi films, and they are watching such immodest scenes. Husband is a boyfriend, girlfriend, and a liquor in the background. Don't forget, I say it, you may feel angry, you may feel hurt, you may feel upset. I say it because I love you, not because I want anything. Think about it. Haji Nakhuda rahmatullahi narrated several times an incident. A person in Medina Munawwara, his friend passed away, the friend was in Riyadh, and he saw his friend suffering in the alam of Barzakh. The ayat that I've recited, by the way, refers to وَمِنْ وَرَاءٍ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبَعْثُونَ. They are existing in a world of Barzakh between Qiyamah and this worldly life. That is the alam of Barzakh. And he saw him suffering, he woke up three times, he saw it on three consecutive nights. He took a flight to Riyadh, he went to the family, what is this that I have observed? What is it? And they said the only difference is this here, you know what? Before he passed away, he bought a TV. He said, this must be it. He narrated whatever, he went back, Allah Ta'ala thereafter, Alhamdulillah, made it that he saw the person, said, I thank you. You have removed a great calamity from me. Mawla Masoola rahmatullahi alayhi, I narrate this here to our sisters, wherever they listen, be very careful about your hair. Mawla Masoola rahmatullahi alayhi narrated an incident. A sister passed away, a brother went into the qabr, left her there, came out, came home. He had told her, where's my passport? Official document. Very important. He can't find it. He just can't find it, thinking. He said, there's only one place. When I bend down in the qabr to leave the janazah of my sister, it must have fallen from my top pocket. He took a group of people. They went, they dug the grave. Very fresh it was, so it wasn't much of a problem. He went inside, he found the documents. Then he thought, let me have a last look at my sister. Her face, well, he opened the coffin a little. But he was shocked. The ladies, when their ghusl is given, they make two portions of the hair, one across each shoulder. And he saw the hair, but her feet, her toe had come up somehow. She was curled and the toe was fastened to her hair. And he thought, what's this here? Let me make her comfortable. And the moment he touched her, he screamed out, hopping, jumping, trying to come out. What happened? He said, I got burned. Now, burning is not only you see fire. The stove is on number 8. There's no fire. Put your hand there. See, you'll see what fire means. You'll go and get burned. Until he went everywhere. He couldn't get any comfort. Until he went to a pious person who had water on water, blew on it. When he used to keep the hand in the water, he was fine. Nothing happens. Mawla Qasim Nanatu Rahmatullahi, somebody mentioned this to him. You people read and blow. We don't see anything. What's this here, man? So he said, oh, you are jahil, you are ignorant, you are very a bad character. And the person got angry and he's lifting his sleeves and his color is changing. Suddenly Mawla Qasim Rahmatullahi mentioned, no, my friend, man, you are a very pious person, you are very humble, you know, what a wonderful character. The sleeves are coming down, the color is changing. Mawla said, this is your answer. He said, what? He said, words. I spoke harsh words to you, see what happened to you. When I changed my tune, see what happened to you. Allah's words, Allah Rabbul Isa's words won't have any effect. How can it ever be? You read Surah Fatiha, you say, you blow on a sick person. You believe in the scan, it can see through the body, it can pick up, this is the ailment here, this here. You have some dye and pick it up. You think Allah's Kalam don't have infinite more power to penetrate and go into those pores and those portions of the body with which we are afflicted with an ailment. If yaqeen, things come right. So we need to be very careful. Sisters, I conclude. Don't take your husbands for granted. Don't think they are soft-hearted and it's so good and it will forever remain like that. Be very cautious. Understand there is a limit in everything. Even a dog has got a limit. you speak, you shout, you scream, no problem. But when you take that leg and you kick it, it's going to yelp and it's going to bite back. Trash your marriages. When I say trash it, never ever in the history of the world can we almost say that you are in need of that husband more than people of times before. Why? Times before there wasn't this Oriani, this shamelessness. You go to the offices, short trousers there. If you go to the airports, you go anywhere, they are throwing themselves at your husband. They do it openly. They flirt with them. They are in the office. Now imagine you make your husband cross and he's going out of the house and he's in a nasty frame of mind. And when he enters that house, there she's saying, "Hey, how are you, man? Fine, are you keeping well? You know, today you don't seem to be fine." And now he wants a shoulder to cry upon. And he starts crying upon the shoulder. And before you know, you start crying tears, oceans of tears. What happened? What did I do wrong? May Allah save us. That, oh husband, does not give you the right to flirt around with women. You don't fear Allah. When you made your nikah in the house of Allah, you pledged that you will be faithful. Where did that pledge take place? Where did that promise take place? Where did that oath take place? Don't ask, where's the oath? I didn't take a promise. Then you tell him, you know what? I accept it, but I'm not making any promise. I'll look after her. I'm going to have my girlfriend. Don't you fear Allah, Rabbul Izzah? Don't you understand what adultery is about? Don't you know the moment you commit zina, iman leaves your heart. It comes in a hadith. The iman leaves the heart. It comes out of the body. It flies like a bird above your head. While you are in the act of zina. Allah forbid. Don't we understand the wrath of Allah? Don't we believe in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, I saw in Miraj, there's a cave, people without clothing, the fire, the furnace, it's so powerful, it propels them to the mouth of the cave. They hit the top of the cave, they can't escape and they come down and the fire keeps on burning them in this way. These were the people that committed adultery. You think adultery is only the physical act? With the eye, you can commit adultery. The eye, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, remember a woman is amongst the arrows of Shaitan. Shaitan, morning he starts, takes his bow. You are going here, you're going to the shop, you are going to the bank, you are going to the government offices, you are walking, there's a woman. Which arrow is going to strike you or me? We don't know. We don't know. There was a Muslim many years, he gave adhan in Baghdad, climbing on the Minara, and one day it so happened while giving adhan, he looked into a yard, it was a Christian staying close to the masjid, a very beautiful woman was there. He finished adhan, he ran out, he went there, knocked on the door, he saw her, he told her, you know what, man, I want to get married to you. She says, you just give adhan, I hear your adhan. I want to marry you. She says, how can you get married to me? You gave adhan, you were the peer person calling people to the house of your Allah. Where you want to marry? I'm a Christian, I'll never give up my religion. He says, I don't want to hear anything. Allah save us. She says, well, if you want to, you have to become a Christian. Allah save us from that one error. You can be sitting in a plane. You can be sitting with a co-worker. It can be your cousin also. You don't know when a shaitan arrow can strike you. It struck him. He said, Astaghfirullah. He gave up his iman. She said, no, I want you to recite the kalima of shirk and kufr. He said, okay. She says, I'm not yet convinced. Eat pork. He ate pork. She said, I'm not yet convinced. Drink liquor. Here's a whole bottle. Drink the whole bottle. He drank. He was just, I want to get married to you. I am going to get married to you. Finish, no matter what. He became drunk. She took him upstairs. He says, now, I'm just waiting for my father. While she was upstairs standing on the balcony, the father came. In the meantime, he was so drunk, he fell from the balcony. Allah save our iman. Allah look after our iman. Allah protect our iman. Allah ta'ala keep our iman in trust till the time of mort and give us our iman at the time of mort. He fell from there, he broke his neck. The girl told the father, this is the whole story. They said, now what, the Muslims are going to be very angry. He said, let them come. They came, they found the liquor bottle. He saw the swine flesh there next to him, everything. Don't dare Allah's laws. Don't speak against hijab. The one is you don't You don't practice, you hold your, cover your face with your hand, oh sister, in the house at least. If you don't want to cover with a veil, put your two hands on your face and say, Allah, this beauty of mine, this youth of mine is reserved for my husband. It's exclusive to be looked at and to be desired by my husband. It's not meant for any Tom, Dick and Harry. I can't do this, I don't have the tawfiq, oh Allah, when I wake up, fill my heart with that iman and that haya. A man is haya, he doesn't know what, even in the sharia, you can't go and speak loudly, sisters, in front of other ghair mihram. Remember, many other wives, they start off with great piety, and comes a time, Allah forbid, they lose their piety gradually until they forget where they started. Allah grant us all tawfiq. Have raham on that particular marhum and all the marhumin. If we have harmed, if I have harmed, if I have hurt our wives, then we must ask him for maaf. Mawlana Siddiq Bandi Rahmatullahi, great Shaykhul Hadith. His wife was very unwell. The people ran. He was giving dars. Hazrat, she's on her very last now. He closed the kitab. He said, oh, students, wait. He ran. He sprinted. He came to the house. He thought maybe he's going to read kalima to her. Read a kalima. He went, he grabbed her feet and he said, one more time I ask of you to make me maaf. One more time, please. You know, I may have said things, please. She smiled, she says, everything is maaf. Don't take anything for granted. May Allah grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Wa barakatuh. Salim Rabbana innana zulamna أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ربنا إنا نسألك جميعا من كل خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والمرسلين.